Okay, let's start with my talk, Array Programming for Mere Mortals. Some of you know me from previous conferences, and you know I love array programming. Array programming is a programming paradigm that is largely forgotten by now, which is a shame. The main array programming language you may have heard of is APL, a programming language, not very inventive, this title. This was developed by Ken Iverson in the late 1950s. And he tried to develop a new mathematical notation because he was not satisfied with what was built over the centuries in mathematics. And it turned out that his mathematical notation was a great vehicle to build a programming language upon, which some of his co-workers did. The problem is APL is rather strange, and every time I try to spread some enthusiasm among my students at university, I hit a wall of fear and scare. It looks horrible and no array programming, go away, go far away and never bother me again with this. And this is a pity. Therefore, I have tried several approaches to get array programming to the masses. That's my, third approach to do this. And it looks a little bit more promising than the approaches before. APL, as I mentioned, was developed by Ken Iverson, just that you have seen the master himself in the early picture while working at IBM. At first, he wanted to call his notation Iverson's Better Math, IBM, but IBM forbid to use this acronym, and the only thing he could come up was a programming language, APL. The picture on the right is the last picture of Ken Iverson. He literally died in front of his computer developing the J interpreter, which is a brilliant way to die for a programmer, as I think, and I hope I will share his fate. Just to scare you a little bit, that's what APL looks like. That's a typical APL idiom, and the problem is you don't see anything familiar. There's a famous quotation from Dennis Ritchie. Most of you will have seen it in the early Unix sources. You are not expected to understand this. You are also not expected to understand it. Just have a look at it and be frightened. That's APL, and that's the reason why I can't get my students interested in array programming. So, a couple of years ago, I set out with a friend of mine and developed my own array programming language, lang5. lang5.sf.net, hosted on SourceForge, was not that success I was hoping for. At least you can read it, but it is not very much clearer than APL, unfortunately. lang5 combined the stack programming paradigm of Forth with the array programming paradigm of APL, and that was just too much for my students. They were really scared away. Okay, the next approach I undertook is Array APX, a Perl module that tries to bring Perl 5 to be able to perform the basic array programming instructions. Array APX is based on Array dputils, and that's a real spin-off of lang5, because when we developed lang5, which I presented 2 or 3 years ago at the YEPSI, which is written purely in Perl, because I needed lang5 to run on OpenVMS, and okay, a little bit difficult to port something that is not written in Perl to OpenVMS. And the good idea we had was that we have all array functionality in one single plain Perl module, namely array dputils. And these functionalities are not as simple as you may think. For example, if you overload a plus operator to operate on arbitrary structures, what do you do if these structures are not of the same shape? What do you do if you add a 2x2 matrix to a 2x2x2 cube of data? What do you do? You have to extend the smaller data structure so that it fits the larger data structure. And all of this logic is buried in array dputils, and array APX just makes use of this. Array APX overloads a lot of Perl's built-in operators. So you have stringification, which is also quite horrible. Display an n-dimensional matrix. Ugh. Really, really tricky sometimes. Overloaded R plus, star, minus, slash. And some operators, like the slash operator, have gotten a very special meaning. You can use it as a division operator if you divide one matrix or vector through another matrix or vector. Or you can use it to implement the reduce operation. Okay, I know there's listutil, which provides reduced 2, and Perl 6 has lots of this stuff built in, but that's for Perl 5. And this reduce operator slash is obviously the slash because it is a slash in APL. I wanted to retain some familiarity with APL. And many, many other operators are overloaded in a way to work transparently on n-dimensional data structures. Here's a very short and simple example. Let us build two vectors and multiply these vectors. To create a vector, I have a function called yotta because it's the yotta symbol in APL. It creates a vector with unit strides starting with 0 and ending and having, in this case, 3 elements. And you see the first overloaded operator in action in the my$x equals yotta 3 plus 1. This plus 1 operates on the vector returned by yotta 3. So you don't get a vector 0, 1, 2, but you get a vector 1, 2, 3, which is stored in x. The same holds true for y. I have yotta 3, which yields 0, 1, 2, plus 3, so I have 3, 4, 5. And all I do is I multiply these two vectors just by writing x times y. That's simple. Using reduce is equally simple. Reduce injects, and I think that's how it is called in Ruby, for example, injects an operator into a data structure. I build a data structure, the usual example of the Gauss sum, for example. I build a data structure, a vector running from 1 to 100, and inject an addition. I have an array, which is just a subroutine reference, which adds two values, and the reduce operator, in this case the slash, injects the adder, the function reference, between two successive elements of $x, and what I get is the scalar sum of all elements in x. That's pretty simple too. Much more interesting are things like scan. You can do interesting things with scan. Scan is a variant of reduce. Reduce just reduces your vector or whatever data structure to a scalar. Scan works a little bit differently because scan acts on the first two vector elements, then on the first 3, first 4, first 5, first 6, first 7. And using this mechanism, you can, for example, build a simple list of square numbers, 1, 4, 9, 16, 25, 36, by just remembering how to generate square numbers. You just add 1 plus 3 is 4, plus 5 is 9, plus 7. You just add successively odd integers. So what I built here, yotta 10, is a vector running from 0 to 9, times 2, 0, 2, 4, 6, 8, and so on, plus 1. So I have a vector consisting of odd integers only. And using an adder like before, I can use the scan operator denoted by an x and inject the scan operator, the addition operator, the plus, between two elements of x. The first element is just the 1. The first plus the second element is 4. The first plus second plus third element is 9, and so on. And voila, you get a list of square numbers without ever squaring. Array APX also has outer products, generalized outer products, so you can build matrices from vectors or whatever using this notation. I need, again, a reference to a subroutine which specifies what generalized outer product do I want. In this case, just a product, but you could produce logical truth tables or whatever. So in this case, M is a reference to a subroutine multiplying its two arguments. And what I do is I build the outer product of a vector running from 1 to 10 with itself. And what do I get when I build the outer product of two vectors running from 1 to 10, a multiplication table as used in school? The result is not shown here because all of you know these multiplication tables. Let us have a look at the functions which are provided by array APX. Every array APX object must be blessed in some way as an array APX object. Sometimes it is useful to bless an existing Perl object so that the APX library can work with it. That's what the dress function is for. That's stolen from lang 5, dress and strip. Dress makes an APX object from it, and strip gets rid of the dress. Yotta, you have seen already, generates a vector. Row is very interesting. Suppose you have a data structure and you want to know its dimensionality. how many elements in which direction of your data cube or whatever do you have. That's one application of the row function. Row returns, if applied to a data structure, a vector that describes the structure of this data structure, the depth in every dimension. On the other hand, you can use row to create a data structure. For example, you could build a vector containing 9 elements, and you could transform the shape of this vector using row by saying, OK, I have this vector of 9 elements, please transform it to a vector that has the shape 3, 3. And you get a matrix 3 times 3 containing the elements of the vector in useful ordering. Great returns an index vector that can be used to sort values. Collapse flattens whatever it gets to a flat data structure, to a vector. So if you have a 10-dimensional cube, just collapse it and you have a very long vector on which you can work with other methods. In is a set theoretic in. You have select, index, subscript, scatter, remove, reverse is simple, rotate. Rotate was horrible to implement in transpose because we can transpose on any axis and any combination of axis of n-dimensional objects. And it's very slow, but it works. Let's have a look at two advanced examples. You remember the unintelligible line of APL from one of the first slides. Let's do the same in Perl. What did this line do? It created a list of prime numbers. And the APL idea of generating primes is rather cool, not very fast, but cool. You generate an outer product of two vectors. Two vectors not starting with 1, but starting with 2. So you have two vectors, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and so on. And you build an outer product, which yields a matrix. This matrix contains no prime numbers at all because every number in this matrix is a product of at least 2 primes. So you use this matrix to apply a set theoretic in function and look which of the numbers in your original vector is not in this matrix. And these must be your prime elements. And this is the method that was shown in the slide before. And that's how you can do it in Perl using array APX. I need reference to a subroutine performing the multiplication. And I need, first of all, a vector. I want to generate the list of all prime numbers between 2 and 200. So I need a vector starting with 2, the plus 2, running to 200. So it contains 199 elements that are stored in X. This X is used here to generate an outer product, X times X, yields a matrix of these two vectors. The in function here, which is applied, the in method, which is applied to this matrix, returns a truth vector, which contains a true for every value that is in the matrix and an undef for every value that is not in this vector. This vector is just inverted by an exclamation mark and used as an argument for the select method, which selects the elements that have a corresponding true in the vector returned by the in function from the vector x. And voila, I get a list of prime numbers as I did in APL. You could employ this technique to check for a single number to be prime. Not very fast either, but very elegant, as I think. If you want to test a number for being prime, one of the most basic ideas is you could just divide by all numbers up to the square root of this number. And that's how you could do it with array APX. And it shows how to employ the row function to transform the structure of a data structure. What I need is a vector with a lot of the same scalar values, $x. I want to check if $x is a prime number. For example, 13. So I need square root of 13 elements packed into a vector. And I need a second vector running from 2 to the square root of 13. And you guess what I will do? I will divide this vector by this vector. I will perform modulo operation and just look which remainders are left. If there's more than one remainder, it is not prime. Every prime number has only one remainder, or none remainder in this case, because I'm not starting with 1. So I just have to count how many divisions left a residue of 0 to know is it prime or isn't it prime. And that's where I employ the reduce operator again. That's how it looks in array APX. My limit is this square root of my number. I need a reference to a subroutine performing the addition. Okay, what I do first is I have a single x. I need a reference to an array containing only one array element, and I have this element to be an array APX element, so I address it. This is an array APX object. I apply the row function, and the row function expects an array APX object again, which is in this case just a scalar packed into an array reference, which denotes how many elements would I want to have in the resulting vector. So this creates a vector containing, for example, square root of 13 times the element $x. And then I apply the modulo operator in an element-wise fashion between this vector and this vector, running from 2, 3, and so on until the square root of my number. Then I have to check, did this modulo operation leave the remainder 0? If yes, I get a true. And all I have to do is apply a reduce operator and my adder and sum all the results of this comparison of the modulo residues to check is it a prime number or isn't it a prime number. And the cool thing on array APX is not that it is slow, it is slow, but the cool thing is you can get students to think about array programming because they don't have to leave their used environment. Many students of today's high school courses know about Perl and Python and whatever. So they are not scared if you tell them, okay, just use array APX and look what you can do with it. And after you have done something like this, you can try to either continue or extend array APX or show them real APL code and they will suddenly understand, oh, that's not just some hieroglyphs with no meaning to anybody, but oh, I can solve problems without explicit loops, without conditionals and whatever in the pure APL style of the 1960s until 1980s, and then the APL use declined horribly. So if you are interested, I would love to get feedback on array APX or support on developing array APX. What would be necessary would be speeding up array APX. Many of its basic functions packed in array dputils are very, very slow because they are pure Perl. What would be needed, obviously, would be a C implementation of some of these functions, index generators and so on. This would help array APX to act considerably faster. Thank you very much for your interest. Any questions?
The interface looks very similar to PDL.
To what?
To PDL.
Yeah, I learned about PDL only after I implemented array APX, so it's a real coincidence.
No, but I mean, it would be interesting if, for example, PDL is really optimized when it needs to do array programming, so it would be cool if those two can talk together.
Yeah, that's a great idea. No, sorry about that. We joked repeatedly about this, but no one came up with a clever idea to implement it, in fact. So we have to wait for Parrot on OpenFOAM VMS to get Perl 6 and, oh, okay, no. Okay, if there are no further questions, oh, okay. Okay.
So it's very fast to do all these structural.
Okay. Do you have a literature reference?
I can give it.
That would be cool. Okay, thanks a lot. Okay. Okay. So if there are no further questions, thank you very much for your interest and have a nice day.